Horoscope
Brasil. That's our intro.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Brasil. This is the show where we talk about movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
I don't know if you can tell, but we got new mics in this bitch.
So now we can talk in softer tones and you can still hear us.
Jody, you sound so hot right now.
You sound so sexy, man.
Oh my God.
So hot.
Wow. This is cool. Yeah, we're on the come up. We're on the glow up, as Jody would say.
Yeah, man.
We got some new recording equipment and we feel super professional. The only cock is we have to hold the mics with our hands, but you know, small wins.
Yeah, we'll sort it out.
Yeah, I usually like to touch myself while we record this.
My hands on my balls all the time. And this is a poor substitute.
No.
Tiny mic.
Yeah, I mean, it's way thicker than that mic. So our show is divided into two segments. As per usual, we have news and shorts in the beginning, and then we move on to a movie review. And this movie review is it's one to be jolly about, I think.
It's a super exciting movie review.
Oh, shit.
We are reviewing the best Christmas movie.
The best Christmas movie.
Of all time.
Of all time, in our opinions. I mean, people will probably fight us. Taking a sip of coffee because this is a morning session.
We've never done a morning session
before. Never done a morning session. I'm not a morning person.
Yeah, I've got a glow about me right now.
Jody is glowing. I look like shit.
You look like coffee and sugar.
Yeah, well.
That's what you look like.
That's what keeps me alive, Jody. It's just coffee and sugar. Listen, Yerko.
Our news and shorts.
Dude. Some exciting trailers this week, finally.
Finally. No,
finally.
We don't get liquor trailers anymore.
They have not been good trailers. They have been a dearth of good trailers this year. I'm going to speak fancy English onto the microphone.
Stick to regular English.
Okay. So, The Nobody.
It's just Nobody.
Oh. My notes say the. It's a definitive article.
You are supposed to be the one that is, you know,
has
attention to detail and so on. But you fucked us, basically.
Anyway, Nobody.
Nobody.
Starring Bob Odenkirk, Connie Nielsen, RZA, Alexei Serebryakov, and Christopher Lloyd.
Serebryakov.
Yeah, Serebryakov. There we go. Sarah Brickmeyoff is that girl from...
Yeah, we don't talk about Sarah Brickmeyoff. It's just nice to break up.
Yes, man. This film's directed by Ilya Naishuler. So, Hutch Mansell is a mild-mannered family man who suffers from PTSD. One night, when two thieves break into his suburban home, he declines to defend himself or his family, thinking it will cause another traumatic experience. When his neighbor gets attacked by the same two thieves, Hutch springs into action and murders the two thieves, helping the neighbor. However, Mansell and his family are targeted by a vengeful Russian drug lord who threatens to retaliate against them.
Why are some synopses like super short and then others are like fucking essays?
I have no idea. I think it's... If you've got budget, you pay per word, man.
This trailer is dope.
This trailer, I'm super excited. This is the first time I've gotten this excited since seeing the Batman trailer this year.
Yeah, imagine like Saw, but Taken.
Yeah, it's a perfect mix between Taken and John Wick.
Yeah.
Like, I can believe that Bob Odenkirk, who, on the face of it, as a comedic/drama actor,
yeah,
you would not associate with any of this, like, crazy action, but...
He looks convincing.
He looks legit.
100%. Like, shit, he's been doing comedy for years. I think he had a show called Mr. Show.
Yeah, and he was also on those precursors to like the Chappelle Show and stuff. Those sketch
like
shows,
Man TV or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But from before them even.
Yeah.
So he's been in comedy for years and years. Man's actually a cinematic treasure.
And he doesn't have to do this movie.
No.
I mean, Breaking Bad is successful. Better Call Saul is successful.
It's
like
amazing.
He doesn't have to work technically, but. It excites me when they do stuff that they
when
want
he chooses.
To do. Yeah.
Don't you just love that there's a vengeful Russian drug lord in this? I feel like the Russian drug lords have been underrepresented in movies lately.
I think they get a bad rap first.
Making a comeback, man. Hey, well, we haven't seen a lot of them lately.
That's true. I mean, since the Cold War, I guess. Excited about the Russian drug lord?
The action in this movie looks fun.
Yeah.
Looks absolutely crazy.
There's like John Wick moments. There's like, what is that? Denzel Washington stuck?
Man on Fire Equalizer.
The Equalizer moments. Yeah. Like the DIY death machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fun time.
And Bob Odenkirk's comedic sensibilities definitely shine through as well. So there were some really funny moments too.
And it is releasing soon.
Yeah. We don't know on which platform either.
Who fucking knows? Like, God. Let's get into the news. I don't even know where to start with this because people, I think the entire world doesn't even know where to start with this. It's like we all went to sleep and then we woke up and we were like,
what
the fuck happened to the, you know, landscape of cinema?
Yeah.
So Warner Brothers, the major studio, I think they're owned by AT&T.
Could be.
They're all owned by this major media company.
It's all
company.
Very incestual there at the top level.
That family be fucking. Anyway, so Warner Brothers made this major announcement, which we all thought was crazy already. Their entire roster for 2021, it's going to be released not only in cinema, but on HBO Max at the exact same time.
Yeah.
So basically, if a movie comes out on, say, the 23rd of July, on that exact date, it will also be available on HBO Max.
Which some directors are a tad pissed off
about.
Well,
this is the thing. They should be pissed off because apparently they did not consult anyone.
No, they just made that decision.
Exactly. They just sprung it on the entire fucking world.
Which is pretty much what... All bosses are like everywhere, though.
And that, well, I don't know.
I pay your salary.
I like my boss. My boss is very nice.
I love my job. I need
my
job.
Salary. It's COVID-19. We need our jobs.
We need our jobs.
Thank you. Until obviously our podcast takes off.
Then it's fuck you.
then I can't wait to do like one of those iconic quitting things. But I actually like the people I work with, so it's not going to be that hectic.
Me too. Yeah. I love my peoples at work.
Okay, great stuff. Now that we've got that out of the way.
Moving back onto the point.
Yeah, I totally understand the frustration because these directors have basically been creating these films for cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And they want a proper shot at the box office.
Exactly.
I mean, they want it to be successful. No director wants their movie to fail.
Exactly.
So when you release it on a streaming platform, that does kind of...
It's going to cut into the profit
but
margin.
But it also, it will increase piracy.
It does. And look, we've spoken before about how streaming platforms, it's really hard to figure out what profit margins are like, what viewership figures are like.
Yeah.
Because they keep all of those things secret.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest one, Netflix, doesn't release any figures for public consumption, really.
Yeah.
So when you hear about something like this happening... Films like June from Denis.
June with a hard D.
With a hard D from Denis Villeneuve. That's supposed to be a cinematic experience.
Yeah. Look, he's very upset.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan, Sino, as we know him here at the show.
Oh my word, did you just give him a new nick?
Yeah, man. Sino is super upset about this as well.
Jody, could you give me a heads up next time before so I'm not so surprised by the new nickname?
He inboxed us about this.
Again, ignoring people, leaving them on the
don't look to Christopher Nolan, damn it.
So Sino, yeah, he's upset.
He came out publicly. He was one of the first directors to actually say that you can't just do things like this. Films
I think
are made for cinema.
He went to, he has a quote where he said, we went to sleep thinking we were working for the greatest studio, but woke up realizing we were working for the worst streaming service.
And So, and on that note,
no, he fired shots about. He fired shots. I mean, he's a cinematic director. Mm-hmm. I mean, he basically does movies for IMAX.
Yeah, that's he was one of the guys who actually brought back filming with the IMAX cameras.
Yeah,
because things need to be seen in certain scopes and so on.
100%.
So I get it. I agree with you.
And the new Villeneuve as well. He said that basically with this move, they killed the Dune franchise.
Yeah. Yeah, because this was supposed to be the start of the franchise now. Yep. So,
and that's not a cheap movie.
No, I think we're going to see a lot more fallout from this. It might also give a rethink as to how, what type of data, what type of figures is going to be released for, in, with regard to streaming and films and so on, for to gauge success.
Yeah.
Because right now, that shit's very hard to figure out, man.
Yeah, and Warner Brothers is in apparently hundreds of million dollars of, in debt.
Yeah, but that's how life works.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you're not in debt, you're not living.
Yeah.
That's the way the system is set up.
Exactly.
Anyway, but yeah, pirate copies, people are probably going to enjoy that.
It might just be a bit more available that way.
Yeah, because if you look at the slate, right, it's huge movies that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman 1984, we all know that's releasing Christmas time, and it's going to be on HBO Max at Christmas time. It's actually in SA this weekend.
New Metro is already showing up.
Yeah. So Wonder Woman 84, Tom and Jerry.
Dude, Godzilla versus Kong on streaming.
Check it. Legendary Pictures actually put up most of the money for that film. So they are like super upset.
Mm.
That's also another thing. These people are preparing like lawyers, bro. Mm. They're preparing cases against Warner Brothers.
Shit's going to go down, dude.
You got Mortal Kombat? Did you know they were making Mortal Kombat?
I don't care for the remake. The original is still best. Mortal Kombat!
I'm okay with the remake as long as they keep the theme song. I mean,
yeah,
keep the mics are dope. Yeah, Mortal Kombat, Conjuring, don't care. Space Jam.
Yeah, I mean, even Suicide Squad,
James Gunn, bro.
These are movies that were literally made for cinema.
Matrix 4. Come on.
Man.
You can't watch Matrix 4 at home for the first time. Anyway, we'll see what happens. And I just want to fucking enjoy the movies, man.
I'd like to.
Shit.
I'd like to be able to go to the cinema.
I miss it.
Sentimental popcorn coke.
Yo, that's the dream.
Yeah.
Large, though.
Yeah, all large. XL.
Hey. I never take the whispers because you always get like 5 whispers.
Nah, I take the whispers, bro.
No, bro.
You need to mix the savory and the sweet.
So do you chuck the whispers?
No, separate. Separate but equal.
Ah.
I'm like the girl in Get Out, you know, she doesn't mix the Cheerios on the milk.
Yes. Did you ever do that trick where you cut a hole in the bottom of your popcorn box?
And then put your index finger through the
index finger.
It's a worm.
If that's what you want to call it. No, I never did that either.
Wrong theaters.
I don't really like salt in my urethra. So
it stinks.
The Disney releases. I mean, they said a lot.
Yeah.
They said a lot of shit. And this was for the shareholders.
Yes, exactly. This was the investor event.
I mean, we technically are invested in it, but not in the same way. Like, we don't make money from it.
Yeah, we don't have money in our bank accounts. The people that went to that thing do.
They do.
And Kevin was involved, so they pulled out all the fucking stops at this thing.
Oh, my goodness. Where to begin? Feige announced that Black Panther 2 will not recast Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, I think it's the only thing they could do. I don't know what they're going to do instead. I've got my suspicions.
Look, they're going to focus on the other and I think his sister might take the role of the Black Panther. Mm.
Which she does in the comics at certain points.
And she's good, man.
Yeah.
Third Ant-Man film, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Yeah.
I like that title.
I like the title. I don't know if Ant-Man's deserving of a third film, though.
Yeah, you know your pick.
Second movie was
I know.
Super bland.
I know what excites. I liked it.
It was alright. It was like I would watch that on my phone.
Comparing it to like Endgame.
I'd sit and watch that on my phone. Like I'm bored. I'm waiting at. I need to renew my license.
Sitting at Home Affairs.
Yeah.
Yo, but bro, that homophobia is lying. Anyway, and then why I'm excited about Ant-Man is because they're introducing Kang the Conqueror.
Yes. I feel like that's... Maybe they're setting Kang up for further stuff, but there's no other major villains announced for that film.
He's going to be the big bad. Kang the Conqueror is like, he's super powerful because of the time travel. Mm-hmm. There's different versions of him. Yeah.
He makes himself more powerful by going back and like giving himself more skills and shit.
And he's fought with like the Avengers, the
different Fantastic versions Four. Of them.
Yeah. So that's interesting and exciting. Then we have, we knew that Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is coming in, but that's going to tie into Spider-Man, confirmed. Mm-hmm. And then they did also announce that Thor. We know Christian Bale has been cast, but they finally confirmed that he's going to be Gore the God Butcher.
Yeah, which is also kind of from left field, but I'm super excited for that dude.
That run is so good because we know that Natalie Portman is going to take up the mantle of Thor. Yeah. And it only kind of works if you have Gore the God Butcher.
Aha.
I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but he's kind of integral to that story. Yeah. And excited. I mean, there was a clip of Christian Bale cucking out like a boom opera, like someone on the set of Terminator Salvation.
Have yes, the sound guy. Yeah,
he cucked him out so great. So he's going to be a good villain.
He's been practicing for it all his life.
if you do have a chance, just look that clip up. It's so funny.
And speaking of, did you hear about Tom Cruise's rant on the Mission Impossible set?
No.
Tom Cruise went absolutely apeshit with people on the set who were in social distancing. They were like literally...
Well, for once, I'm in Tom Cruise's corner. Yeah,
these people were all hanging out around the laptop, like watching something. And Tom Cruise cucked them out because they had 12 people or something test positive for COVID last week. Shut down production and they just started again now. And these people were not adhering to social distancing. And Tom's like, I'm on the phone with studios every night. They all are hoping that this movie is the one that opens up cinemas again and gives people confidence. You guys are catching on cuck here. We're trying to save recorded? Jobs. The Sun has an audio recording of it, but I saw the transcript this morning. And Tom Cruise doesn't come across as being like Onwarach in this thing. As much as you think like he's...
No, shout out to Tom Cruise, man.
But he's trying to get this film made.
Yeah, I mean, okay, it is for, you know, he wants the film to be successful and make money and stuff. But also, social distance, man.
Come on, guys.
There's a fucking pandemic.
Just 1.5. That's all you need.
Well, Cape Town is in its chops, man. You know
yeah,
that.
Cape Town's fucked.
Anyway, okay, shout out Tom Cruise. That's awesome.
Well done, bro.
And the final announcement for movies is that they MCU Marvel Kevin Feige is doing a Fantastic Four film.
I was crazy excited when I saw that.
So you obviously thinking John Krasinski and Emily Blunt.
If they could do it, I mean the amount of fan art of John Krasinski and Emily Blunt doing Mr. Fantastic and
Invisible. Funny enough, the director of the upcoming Metal Gear Solid film, he asked Boss Logic, who is a digital artist, usually does like film mockups and fan art and stuff. He asked Boss Logic to do a mockup of Oscar Isaac as Solid Snake. In order to get an idea of what it would look like. And he ended up getting the role.
That's amazing.
So hopefully the fan art once again saves the
day. Just push it through. Yeah. Look, I know that John Krasinski, he was supposed to be Captain America. So he's already got... he was supposed to. He got to the final round of auditions.
Apparently he looked ridiculous in the suit.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Right? That man's...
He was tall and lanky. I mean, he's geboned now. But
he bulked up for that Jack Ryan series. Yeah,
Military government propaganda or something.
Yeah.
Jack Ryan.
The Tom Clancy thing. Yeah. But in this role, he would be... The two of them would be absolutely amazing. I don't know who I want as my Human Torch or the Thing.
Yeah, it's fine. They shouldn't cost anyone. Just make him on flame all the time.
Yeah. Like, what's his name from Deadpool? Like, Colossus from Deadpool. Yeah,
just fully CGI character.
Then you get Andy Serkis to do it. You make him skinny and tall enough to be
even my
tall.
Pressure. Flame on. My precious flame. No. Andy Serkis, he's really good.
And you know you get for the Thing. That guy.
You bring back that bald guy from.
And Michael Chiklis.
Yes, bring back Michael
bring
Chiklis.
Bring him back. Or you get the guy who does Kong. What's his name? The actor who does Kong, who also did the villain in Planet of the Apes, the second movie. ape, kill ape. That guy.
Wasn't that Andy Serkis?
No, Andy Serkis is Caesar. I'm talking about the guy who does the villain in there. He was also Kong, and he does the motion capture for Kong.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's very good at, like, apes.
He's, well, yeah, but also, the thing isn't he's just ape. Good at motion capture.
Do you have his name there?
I will check what his name is. Toby Kebbell. You know Toby
that
Kebbell.
Guy. Yeah. Finally enough, he was Dr. Doom in the terrible Fantastic
in the shit
movie.
One, yes.
Okay, but I don't think he would want to get involved in a Fantastic Four movie.
When you're involved with the worst one, you can't. I'm just watching.
I think he's done, but excited about that. Mm. Disney Plus in general. Look, we didn't even touch on the Star Wars stuff.
No.
Fuck my life. Like, there's so many Star Wars spin-off series coming back. I enjoy The Mandalorian. Jody hasn't fucking watched it yet.
No time.
Not my problem.
Bisco Brasso.
It does take a lot of time. You motherfuckers don't even know the effort. Anyway, in the movie world, we have Patty Jenkins, who's Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. She does Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah.
She's going to do a Star Wars movie called Rogue Squadron. So that's going to focus on, like, the dogfights, I think.
Yeah.
The jet, the X-wing, X-wing, and the Z-wing. oh my God, Star Wars! And then we've got a Taika Waititi Star Wars film,
which is that's going to be insane.
It was announced in May, but they still don't know what it is. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
They know just dropping his name at the moment with Star Wars will get people excited.
I'm so happy for that guy.
Me too.
Fuck it.
He's one of the few original guys out there, and he's super talented enough that he can do the writing. He's like Quentin. He can do the writing, the directing, but he can actually act Quentin. Also. QT, also Quentin, a big fan of the show.
Tari.
Tari. Smoke some Tari.
It used to have like toenails and it was super cheap. It was like 20 rand a stuff. Let's not get into that. Like, hey, stay in school.
Don't do Tari.
So I'm super happy for him, and I want him to succeed. There's just certain people that you want to succeed.
Yeah.
James Gunn, him. Like, these are the original voices.
Exactly. And the younger generation, like the new guys coming through, I would view them as.
Yeah. Fox Spielberg.
Yeah, bro.
No, I'm kidding.
Stewie has made enough concession money acting for.
On your fucking concessions at Universal, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then you have the Disney animation Pixar, right? Raya the Last Dragon. Terrible trailer. Terrible trailer.
Really bad.
A new movie called Encanto. Encanto with C's. No, it's not.
Not Encanto. Encanto. No.
Encanto, it's a new movie set in Colombia with music written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. And then the Pixar movies I'm going to jump into because there's so much stuff. Luca, okay? It's a movie set in Italy about a boy named Luca. No shit.
How unique.
The doy. And then Turning Red. About a 13-year-old girl going through puberty that transforms into a giant red panda.
I thought that was going to go a different way.
I think we all did. But a giant red panda, you can't get any more obvious than that.
No, just absolutely not. I didn't know pandas are rage animals.
And near extinct. Yeah, they can be.
But they're so useless.
No, I would love to own one.
A panda?
Yeah. And then one I am excited for is one called Lightyear. So this is the origin story of Buzz Lightyear. But in that universe, right, Buzz Lightyear, the toy, is based on an actual human being in the universe. So this movie is not about the toys. It's about the human being named Buzz Lightyear.
I see.
Who goes into space. So they're pitching it as like a sci-fi epic. So I think he's going to like encounter aliens and
But this movie has pissed off a few fans, right?
Yeah, but fans are stupid.
Do you know why that pissed off the fans?
Because of the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think they who was the original voice again?
Tom Allen.
I think Disney realized, yeah, Tom Allen's too much of a Republican. So they just
got, like, they let's just work him out.
Yeah, Chris Evans, he's a nice guy.
We don't mind dick pics. Republican, no. Dick pics, yeah.
No, Chris Evans is the voice of, like, and I think it's fine because it's not based on the toys. It's not a movie about the toys.
But the way that they've cast it, it's that he is doing the voice of Buzz. Yes, that's what they're saying. And they got rid of Tom Allen.
So what?
It's like getting rid of Tom Hanks as Woody.
It's not the same thing.
You just
thing
don't do it.
Because Tom Hanks' Woody would...
Who was based on Lucky Luke.
Yeah, and Lucky Luke is not voiced by Tom Hanks.
He's voiced by that guy in Orkney's Knock.
Exactly. Wie draait die broek? Lucky Luke.
Suk. Lucky Luke.
Shit, that's classic. Bicycle they need to Crusher. Do. They, yeah, it's not damn fucking. It's not 90s TV, brother. I don't care about the voice thing. Fuck it.
Yeah, like, it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be cool. Yeah, it sounds fun.
It's gonna be fun.
Grow up, guys.
Yeah, fans are dumb, bro.
Says the two biggest fans whose whole show was based on loving movies.
I know, but like we're not those fans that get like super upset about things and rage on the internet and throw people.
We're
like,
quite moderate. We just made a show about our love for movies.
Look, we really love movies, but in the grand scheme of things, it's just movies, guys. It doesn't change your life in any fucking way.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoy the entertainment.
Exactly.
And the thing is, if a remake or a new idea is a dud, you still have the original to go back to.
Exactly.
You still have it.
I don't know how we got here, but yeah, man, I'm with you.
We're truth bombing right now. Huh? Fuck. Save Tom Cruise. No. Shame he needs to get under that church of Scientology. I feel like there's a good person inside him.
I really don't know how we got here. I switched off for like it's 10 the seconds mic. And we had Scientology.
The mics do what they want. Okay, the mics take us in a direction.
We just follow. We just go.
That's right. I am butter vessel.
Butter vessel?
Yeah, I'm a butter vessel. Can't you see the shape of my body?
Yeah, and you're melting.
I'm a fucking butter vessel.
Your cholesterol, what?
It's fine, man. The cinnamon cancels that out.
The podcast takes off like 100 kilos.
My mother like eats like some of the sweetest thing on the planet. She'll eat like fucking cake or whatever, and it just chucks cinnamon.
It cancels it out. Yeah, it. A brunt.
Sec, it's time for a review.
So Ross,
so Jody,
we are reviewing the best Christmas movie of all time.
Best Christmas movie of all time.
I do want to give a shout out to our fans who guessed correctly.
Yeah, they're probably still commenting on
that. Yeah, some of you might be commenting. You guys don't know how long it takes us to record between shit, and we're not going to reveal them.
Yeah.
Damn it. It's the magic.
Look, maybe when we do the behind the scenes documentary.
Yeah. Yeah. That Abed is filming for us. So shout out to Alexander_M86, aka Alexander Mare. Shout out to Tony Maneo.
Oh, he asked us not to use his government name.
Okay.
So just Tony Maneo.
Tony Maneo.
Yeah, he was very upset. He's like, you put me on blast. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I'm like,
fuck you. No shout out for you then.
No shout out. Tony Maneo, you guessed it right.
You guessed right.
You told him that.
And Mel B4A. Mm. Also guessed correctly. We do have one person who's going to get a participation badge for guessing incorrectly.
Atmos.
Constant contributor, Taylor Made Revolutions.
Yeah,
not a bad guess, but you get your participation stamp.
Yeah,
don't you worry.
Shame. I mean, so, everybody gets a reward. That's I think everyone knows are created.
Everyone knows it, right?
Yeah.
The best Christmas movie of all time is...
They should know it.
It's Die Hard.
Die Hard?
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Starring Bruce Willis, Alan Rickman, Alexander Godunov, and Bonnie Bedelia.
Directed by God himself.
John McTiernan. No, dude, this man's action movie credentials.
Yeah, for real. We both have notes, and I'm sure we have the same notes, but you hit us with the action movie credentials.
Copious notes.
Yes, sir.
This man has directed Predator, aka...
Predator, about a pedophile.
AKA the movie Jean-Claude Van Damme did not star in Predator. That one came out
in
1987.
He was actually in a suit.
Yeah, they have that where he's riding around in the suit.
Yeah, in the Predator suit.
Yeah.
He's too short though.
Way too short. And the Predator doesn't need to split at any point. Like that, bro. So he did Predator in 1987, Die Hard in 1988,
yeah.
The Hunt for Red October in 1990, and then also Last Action Hero 1993, Die Hard with a Vengeance, and then later on some shit that we don't care about. But I mean, listen to that.
Yeah, he had like 80s action movies on lock, bro.
We grew up on this, dude.
We grew up, this is our fucking bread and butter.
He's amazing. So let's give you a synopsis. For those of you who don't know.
Do we have to give the synopsis?
We've got to give a synopsis, Ross. We are professionals.
Okay, read it with gusto.
Hoping to spend Christmas with his estranged wife, Detective John McClane arrives in L.A. However, he learns about a hostage situation in an office building, and his wife is one of the hostages.
Wow, that was amazing. One man.
Carl Futter.
Bare feet. One building. Anyway.
So, Ross, I'd like us to, first of all, just talk about this as like the action movie, what we love about Die Hard. And then also I'd love to hear about why this is the fucking best Christmas movie of all time.
Yeah. Can we talk about a little bit about the history? I just have these notes.
This is the trivia section that we would love to dive into.
Thank you. So, it's based on a novel called...
Which I didn't know.
Nothing Lasts Forever.
I did not know this.
By Roderick Thorpe. Thorpe?
Yeah.
My handwriting is terrible.
And that novel is a sequel.
Yeah. So, the character was originally called Joe Leland.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, compare that to John McClane. Fucking way worse.
Leland.
And in the book, Leland is visiting his daughter when Gruber takes over the building. Mm. And at the end, when Gruber falls, spoiler alert, we're going to get into it, but...
He falls.
he falls from a ladder. Mm. No, he falls and he takes his daughter with him.
Whoa.
Yeah, like that's bananas, right?
Not going to read that book.
No, fuck that. So the original character... Because, like you said, it was a sequel. Mm. The original movie was called The Detective, and that came out in 1968, and that was played by Frank Sinatra.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did not know that either.
Yeah. So, when they created Die Hard, they were contractually obligated to offer Sinatra the role.
Oh, Lord. How old was
he? But in 1988, he was 73.
No, Barefoot Frank, I'm all for it.
But they had to offer it to him. I'm sure they just sent a letter.
He probably had a wife beater already at that point, right? He had the vest, he had the slacks.
What's your wife beater?
Frank.
Yeah. Frank.
He told me that in confidence.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, they had to offer it to him because of the contract.
That's
crazy. That's nuts, right? Other people, it was also offered to Sylvester Stallone,
mm-hmm.
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
Obvious.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And my topic out of these, Don Johnson.
Oh, Don Johnson.
Miami Wise.
Yeah, man. He would have come there with these sleeves.
The rolled up sleeves. Oh, my word. The hair blowing.
Pastel suits. Oh, my word.
Yeah, so it was finally offered to Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. Right? At that time, he was a TV star. He wasn't a movie star.
Yeah, in Moonlight.
In Moonlighting, yeah. Mm-hmm. He had a show called Moonlighting. And then he did do
with
a movie.
With him and Sybil, Sarah Shepard.
Yeah.
Massive show.
You're pulling out names now.
Yeah, bro.
I don't even know if our listeners... Well, we know,
know
Tailor-Made Revolutions will know.
I'm more mature fans who know this.
So he did have a movie though called Blind Date with Kim Basinger, but that bombed.
Yeah. Is that where they met and got married?
Possibly.
Were they married? No.
I can't.
I think I'm mixing him up with Antonio
Banderas. Antonio Banderas married Kim Basinger. Yeah, for sure. So... He was a big risk for them.
He was.
And then, because he was only a TV star, I don't know how he negotiated it, but he got paid $5 million for that.
At that time?
Yeah.
So, as a reference point, nowadays, if you get like between 10 and 20 million as a male star in films, which is, we still get paid more at this point in time.
Yeah.
You are walking away with like a huge amount of money.
Yep.
That's now.
Yep.
5 million in 88. That is... Yo, that's...
That's a lot of fucking
that
money.
That was unheard of.
Yeah. He got 5 minutes. So that gamble... Mm. And it, so some people even speculate that that is why the poster kind of hides half his face.
Ah.
Because there was another movie released, I can't remember, but that also bombed just before Die Hard came out. Now, people saying that they covered half of his face with the building so that they on the poster they wouldn't think, oh, it's Bruce Willis.
That's amazing. But the Nakatomi building's a character in and of itself. Yo.
It is, yeah.
Should have been in the cast list.
It should have been in the cast list. There's actually a like a heavy story about the architecture influences and all that jazz. But anyway, we don't have fucking time for that.
No.
So the screenwriters also, Jeb Stuart, he is the one that like kind of came up with the relationship with Holly and his wife. And then the other guy is Steven D'Souza, who worked on 48 Hours. Mm. Commando and The Running Man.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you got people, yeah, that...
They are like the who's who of action films.
Crème de la crème.
Crème de la crème.
Crème de la crème. No.
You speak for France?
Yeah, I speak for France. So that story kind of intrigues me because Bruce Willis wasn't your normal action
hero. Yeah, not like he is now. I mean, this was the very first time.
Your action heroes that you were looking at were like Schwarzenegger,
the
Stallone.
The names that you mentioned.
100%. And they had muscles on muscles.
Yeah. Bruce had wife beaters.
Yeah, Bruce had, I mean, yeah, he's...
And the very chest was quite flat.
Yeah. Shame, man. So... Now that I've got that off my chest, just because I had the notes and stuff, we can dive into the story. We can dive into the story.
So, first of all, this movie follows what has been established now as like the one of the best tropes of action movies.
Yeah.
You start at the bottom, you work now your way up to the big boss, and you fucking kill everything in between, including the boss, eventually. That trope, I mean, things like Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon and those types of films from way back. Kind of, they were the blueprint from which it came from. But I think Die Hard was one of those action movies that really established this as like the go-to thing for a proper action film.
Yeah.
You know, using that building as a character in and of itself as well was just amazeballs.
Yeah. So
absolutely brilliant.
The guy who did like the sets and shit, he read the script and he was like, this is like a jungle movie.
Mm.
That is why the top floors of the building is not
under
finished. Yeah.
Mm.
And he has all that supporting poles in there to kind of look like a jungle. Fuck, man.
That's like attention to detail.
That's attention to detail. That's conceptual thinking. Uh-huh. And it fucking works.
All of it works.
It works so hard.
So I don't want to quite dive into the villains yet. I just want to like marvel about the...
Do you want to start at the beginning?
Start at the first floor. Yeah, they really establish John McClane as an everyman.
He's definitely an everyman.
We often talk in our reviews about having like a good avatar for your audience, having someone that you can connect to, someone who you can who's relatable and makes the on-screen experience better for you.
Yeah.
Action stars like Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, they're fun because they are like, I will never look like that. I will never have an Austrian accent.
Yeah. It's more escapism.
It's escapism.
Yeah.
But establishing John McClane as this guy
relatability.
Who's, you know, I feel it, man.
Again.
After a flight, I also want to take my shoes off.
Yeah, but that's actually like quite barefoot. Cool because you mentioned the barefoot thing. Like, there's a logical reason for that.
Yeah.
Because when he's flying on his way to the city, that guy tells him, like, when you're stressed or whatever, you need to take your shoes off and then just tighten it up like a ball.
Yeah.
So there's a reason he takes his shoes off and he's without shoes.
And he's on the counter and he's like, oh, it's amazing.
Even later, when he tries to put shoes on, it doesn't fit. Yeah.
Because the huge villain says, COVID.
And so that's what I mean. Like, everything was thought about.
Yeah. In a very organic way. It's 100%. All organic for me. So I think that establishing him as this relatable hero is a major step in kind of setting the tone for this whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole him coming there to almost like get his wife back because they already kind of have separated. She doesn't use his surname anymore.
Yeah.
There's a
quote from Jeb Stuart. He said, it's about a 35-year-old man who should have said sorry to his wife,
yes,
then tethered a stake over the building.
Yeah. Which happens to all of us. I mean, come on. We've all been through
it. I'm about to apologize to Abby, and then it's like, this gunshot.
So that's relatable. We've all been there. But his motivations, you know.
Yeah.
Like going there, he's patching things up. You're already rooting for him, like at that point. And then all this other shit happens.
Yeah.
All this shit goes down.
Okay, they are terrorists, and terrorists can be quite heavy, but the concept of terrorists being terrorists just to cover up robbery, that's, you know, quite unique there.
It's so German of them.
You can't have... Yeah, I mean, terrorists is quite a serious thing, and especially in the States and stuff. So you couldn't have, like, this is a proper terrorist attack. It wouldn't be as fun, I feel.
Exactly.
So the fact that they're covering up a robbery so that they can make the movie a little bit more fun.
Yeah. And also, look, I think I want to now chat about the villains also at this point in time. At that stage, having villains from like Germany or Eastern Europe was in vogue, right?
Yeah.
Everyone was doing it. All your bad guys were from those areas.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's how it's done. Much like nowadays, all your terrorists are like from Asia and... they all have like some religious motivations. That same thing was like the Eastern European, the German villains in the 80s and 90s. Somehow creating a character as amazing as Hans Gruber, who stands out within those pool of villains, to do that was incredible.
That was his first movie,
Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Alan
Rickman. Yeah, R.I.P. Alan Rickman. He was a theater actor, and that was his first feature film.
Jeez, and he just knocks it out of the
first feature film. Insane. Charismatic.
So charismatic. Even the plotting, right? to have a villain who he decides, I'm going to go and check this thing out myself because the lackeys are just catching on shit.
Yeah.
And for him to immediately like, save it, I'm so scared.
Genius. Like, absolute genius.
You don't see twists like that.
And that's the first time they meet. For the most part of the movie, they don't meet
each other.
It's this cat and mouse game. Mm. John McClane is this thorn in his side that just cannot go away.
He was just like killing all of these like useless henchmen one by one and sending little messages to him.
Even
and
that
him
journey,
more.
Right? The brilliance of it is Bruce Willis talking to himself because he's figuring things out.
Yeah.
Oh, so stupid, John. Mm. You know, fucking, you know, welcome to the party, pal. Yeah. All these little quotes and these little things that he's saying to himself because he's alone in this situation for the most part.
Until he gets his partner, of course.
Yeah, well, partner. There's no criticism for this movie, but the police are cock stupid.
They really are. And the FBI even more so.
The FBI are cock stupid.
They just come in there and fuck shit up, man.
Yeah, I mean, the decisions that they make is just ridiculous, but... it's cool because it gives the original Val Johnson's character, you know, you basically him, the audience members. Like,
yes.
This guy's in there.
Exactly.
He's alone.
Yeah.
You know, we need to fucking help him.
Someone has to be fighting for John. Exactly. Right? And he's the only one doing
that. He's the only one.
He could have gone home.
He could have gone
home. Bro was on his way home from
the
shop.
Look, they shot these fucking car apples. Yeah. After that, I would have gone home.
I would have fucked. I'm like,
100%.
That's my work.
They don't pay me enough. That's my work.
If Uber existed back then.
This is a company vehicle, so that is the fastest car in the world. It's a company car.
Yeah. Also, limitless petrol.
Yeah, so Reginald Val Johnson as Al Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And he essentially is like the not just our voice for John, but also what superheroes now have, which is like the person behind the computer.
The desk guy, the computer
guy. Yeah, the computer guy. Like Ned does for Spider-Man in all the new Spider-Man movies.
I mean, but the thing is, John is not a superhero.
He's not, but there's a relationship. Right? He becomes a superhero in our eyes during this film.
Yeah, for sure.
He does amazing shit.
If we go through like some of the other characters, right?
Mm.
His wife, Holly Gennaro.
Yeah. Brilliantly played by Barney Bedelia.
That's right. And the saddest thing is that she doesn't feature in the sequels.
Yeah.
Which I think is a sin.
Yeah, she's referenced, but not featured. Because
their chemistry is really good, and you can see how much she loves him still. Mm.
Despite you can see he's stubborn as all hell.
He's stubborn. There's one of my favorites is when the blonde guy, I can't remember his name.
The journalist.
No, the terrorist with the long blonde hair.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's trying to kill John because John killed his brother.
Yeah.
And he fails, and then he comes back and he's like, I'm still alive. And he has that old foot.
She's like,
and then
John she's has like, effect.
John is still alive.
I know. Yeah. Only my husband
only,
could
only
put someone
John can make someone that crazy.
He's still alive. What? Only John can drive somebody that crazy.
All of it is relatable, right? 100%. I feel like that's how Jenna feels about me quite often, and I piss her off.
Yeah, of course.
It's like I'm the only one who could make someone that upset. Yeah.
I mean, that's why we get married, isn't it?
Yeah,
just to constantly
irritate.
That's the job. That's the job, and we are ready for it.
And we do it well.
Yeah, 100%. Alice, the cocaine-riddled yuppie. He was very good, though.
Yeah, he was that level of sleazeball.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's coming in all like so greasy, with those white cap teeth and like just... Sorry.
Suma, make you cough that
You make me cough, man. You make me upset. I'm allergic to asshole.
He's just so good in that role. That is the choice. And according to the BTS, most of those decisions were made by him. He like took it and they were wanting him to play it a bit straight, but he like took it and ran with it. He's like, I'm going to play this douchey fucking yuppie.
Do you know what he reminds me of? Bill Paxton's character in True Lies, the car salesman. Yes. Just like so, utter douche.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. unfortunately.
Yo, my bro, how many times do we have to say RIP?
Way too many times. But it's like that same level of douchey, just complete sleazeball, like, hey, man, I can help you guys out.
Yeah.
Like, I know John.
Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby. Hans. Bobby. I'm your white knight.
And you know, it's the part that you have this level of satisfaction, but also you feel so sorry for him.
Yeah.
When you see Hans's face and you know that this is not going the way that Booby wants us to go.
Booby wants us to go.
Hans is just like taking his time. He's just like, sure, you help me out.
Yeah, yeah.
You help me out. I'm sure that you know what you're doing.
I'm not going to kill you in a second.
Yeah. Oh, shame, man.
So fucking good. And then, so we have the other henchman, Theo.
Yeah.
He's like the hacker man.
Yes. Who became very famous in Walker, Texas Rangers.
Exactly.
Chuck Norris's
He's
partner.
The only black cowboy in the town. Yes. And he can also do roundhouse kicks.
Not as good as Chuck.
No, obviously his form is a bit weak, but you know, he gives it a good shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He tries.
So, played by Clarence Gilliard.
Mm-hmm.
He was also like,
he just went like off with us,
he
right?
Went a little nuts.
What's that sports reference? Is like, he kicks the ball, something like that.
Oh my god, the quarterback is toast.
Such a weird reference.
1980s hacking was amazing.
I know. I feel like all of the henchmen were like literally on cocaine.
But also, all of these characters are so, even if they had very little screen time, they are so well formed, man.
Exactly.
Everyone, they serve a various purposes.
They paint this big picture. So, a reason for that, Bruce Willis was still doing TV while he was filming this. So, he would film the TV show during the day and then film Die Hard at night, which like...
As you do.
So, the producers and the director decided to give him a bit of a break. So, they focused more on the other
villains.
Yeah, the villains and the kidnap victims. The
hostages.
Yeah. Kidnap people. Stupid.
Yeah, Ross's English runs out of
my bro. It is early morning. It is 5 o'clock right now in the morning. So the hostages, they focused on everybody else because they were giving Bruce Willis a break. They
and you know what that does? It makes us keen to, when we see him, we are like excited to see his character again, because it's like, okay, what's gonna happen now?
Exactly. It's this rich tapestry of like
together.
A terrible night.
Yeah. Just perfect.
And then I want to mention Argyle as well.
You have to mention Argyle.
Because Argyle, okay, it was the 80s, so he's a little crazy.
Just a touch, right?
Just a touch.
Could have been some cocaine in that limo driver too.
It's cocaine throughout this movie, but you know, him waiting for him, they've become friends with each other, and him like talking to Guinness on the car phone.
Yeah, with his sunglasses on, and it's already really dark, and he's in the garage or some shit. Yeah. Well, no, not in the garage, but
the basement.
Yeah, and it's really dark, man.
It's super dark.
Like, bruh.
Even he gets his hero moment in there.
He does.
Yeah.
Killing, what's his face? Killing Theo.
Yep. So, I mean, those are just honorable mentions.
Yeah.
But your two main guys, Hans Gruber and John McClane.
Can I do one more honorable mention?
Okay.
Yes. The villain that we didn't know we need. William Atherton as the journalist douchebag who spills the beans that John and Ollie are related. And who goes to John's family like to go and try and get
to
interview the kids, right?
House,
and all that shit. this guy, yo, like, we already had, like, sleazeball yeah. car salesman. Then we have complete, utter douchebag journalist.
Yeah.
Like, just stepping up, trying to get
He's
famous.
He's very good at that thing.
He's amazing. Yeah. Does the same role in Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Exactly the same role.
Fuck, and I'll talk about typecasting.
Yeah.
But yeah, you fucking hate him as well, and then you feel that punch at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ollie, like,
Ollie moves him in the back.
Pull that one up.
Love that moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, back to John and Gruber. Like I said, they don't see each other for most of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like two minds battling each other.
Yeah. And then when you have the actual interaction of the two of them, and it's like they just start connecting with each other.
Yep.
It's almost like under different circumstances. Yeah. They could have made a buddy
sharing
comedy.
A cigarette. Yeah. Having a cigarette and like talking shit.
Mm.
And after this film, every pitch... Every action movie pitch was
Diode
in something.
Diode
underwater.
Diode in space.
I even saw a clip where one of the producers were talking and then a person phoned him with a pitch and they're like, Diode in a building.
Because the first one was outside. So I see that this film is like just over 2 hours long, which for that time was very unconventional.
Right? Was,
even
yeah.
though 2 hours has since become the norm.
You don't feel it.
You don't feel it. This movie is tight. This movie, there is no waste. There's no like no fat waste. On this movie.
Mm-mm.
It's lean. Everything is important to this movie.
Yeah.
Connecting the barefootness, John's barefootness.
That barefootness.
As an aspect of the film that becomes so important.
So I'm assuming you also saw this when you were young.
Mm.
Yeah, that barefoot thing freaked me the fuck.
Yeah.
Like it was Aina.
Yeah.
For the most, when I saw it on VHS, obviously, that barefoot scene, it seemed to me like the most painful thing that could ever happen to
someone. We've all stepped on thorns.
Yeah. I mean, if you were lucky enough to have Lego, also, if you stepped on a fucking Lego, oh my God, you paralyzed.
They should have thrown a shitload of Lego there and the movie would have ended after half an hour.
So then when that glass scene happens and it enters his foot and he still has to like fight these guys. Mm-hmm. And then even after the gun battle.
Mm,
and he's busy pulling it out.
And his mommy's not there to help him pull it out and to put betadine on there.
Yeah, or kiss his boo-boo.
Yeah.
So cringeworthy and it was the worst thing I could imagine.
But it's like you said, man, everything that they do is so...
Mm.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
So when they do that, him being barefoot.
Yep.
They know where they're building to with that.
But we
with
need Hans, a reason for him to be barefoot.
Yeah. So Hans like telling his henchman, shoot the glass. You don't have to keep shooting where he is. Bras barefoot, my bro. Say 20 gaan afval.
Smart.
That's genius.
Genius.
They
absolutely.
Connect every single thing.
Yeah. Even to the best scene, which is the one that he jumps off the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the explosions going on and he just has to
escape. Quick thinking.
Uh-huh.
Wrap that shit around him.
Yeah.
They're going to blow the fucking roof up.
The canvas. That was still like the canvas fire
yeah,
hose pipe things.
Like,
those heavy duty things.
Yeah. And there's no stretch in there.
No. So, it's tight.
Yeah. So, I mean, when he reaches
when
like
that thing
that,
rips.
Yeah.
There's no bungee.
It's broken ribs, man.
Ribs
my life.
Yeah. There are so many of those things. I mean, Hans falling, that scene over there.
That scene. You know about that scene.
On the floor. Which one?
With Hans falling.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want to do it at first.
Okay.
They said, listen, I want to get the shot. Mm. And the only way the shot works is if you actually do it. We strap you up and we fucking drop you.
Mm.
Then they convinced him and he was like, okay, fine.
Mm.
Then the stunt coordinator said, we're going to drop you on three. And then he counted one and then dropped him.
So that's all real. That face.
When his eyes like just, you know, expand and he's like, oh my, that is legit real. There was not, Alan Rickman himself said, that is not acting. There's zero acting there.
I hate those guys for putting Alan through that, but.
Worth it.
It's worth it. Well, that scene.
And I mean, you have other movies from the 80s where they have like bad guys falling and it looks so fucking horrible.
Just now.
This one still holds up.
Yeah.
It still holds up. You can see
it's
green screen at the bottom, but his face and the way they shot it in the slow-mo, it works so
awesome.
Fucking well.
One thing I want to also just touch on is that this movie got very middling reviews when it came out.
That's right.
People did not, they were pretty ambivalent about Bruce Willis being John McClane.
Yeah, it was never number one at the box office.
Yeah, they didn't particularly like his character. The movie itself was like, it's okay. There was no excitement, but the amount of love from fans, and I think also on VHS, just how big it became there. I remember going to the video shop when I was young, and this film was always in the like restricted 18.
Oh, okay.
You know, like you, this is no kids for this one. And when I first saw it, I must have been about 6 or so when I first saw it at the video shop. I was like, I wonder what happens in that movie. Because it's this picture of Bruce Willis and it's this building and him with a gun. And I'm like, can you imagine the violence in there?
Mm. Oh, you weren't thinking sex?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was in the action section.
Oh, okay. The restricted actions. I thought you were talking about the other restrictions.
No,
section.
I could read. The adult section was there, right at the back.
Dope. Do you ever go to the adult section?
And you couldn't, like, just wander over there accidentally. The people used to, like, watch you behind the counter.
That didn't stop us from trying.
I was 6.
Just to look at the covers.
I was 6 years old.
Yeah, you fucking pervert.
Gee, anyway, so I had that curiosity about that film from that age already. And when I eventually saw it on Mnet.
Yo, Mnet, bruh.
It did not... It's not even that it exceeded my expectations. I can't explain to you how amazing it was to see it for the first time.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, it's in the upper echelon of all action movies. Isn't
it? We're just dropping word bombs today.
For sure, man. I mean, you like you said before, like, this is our shit. Like, 80s action. 80s
this is what we grew
action,
up on.
100%. Mm. Predator, Commando, all this shit. But Die Hard is the one that stands out.
It is the one.
It is the one. Mm-hmm. It's the Neo.
The Neo of action films.
100%. And the saddest part is that Bruce Willis does nothing remotely close to this anymore.
No.
I know he's old, but even from a performance level.
You just phone shit in now, man.
He doesn't even... So, in his contract, right? So, he gets like fucking $5 a pop.
Just
if
for
you,
pitching.
If you notice, like, you look at his releases now, it's like all low budget shit. So he gets like a few mil. Most of their budget goes to fucking him.
Yeah.
And then he, in his contract, he only shoots for 2 days.
Oh.
And the rest of the time.
Really
cool. Yeah, it's best working fucking environment ever. The rest of the time is a body double.
I did not know that.
So most times when actors are talking to Bruce Willis, he's not even
it's
there.
It's just someone with a bald head.
It's not even there.
I've got a bliss. I can be Bruce's double.
They filmed like some fight scenes where Bruce wasn't even there. So you have a double for the bra. He's supposed to be fighting.
Yeah.
And the bra, the other star is fighting a double as well.
Shame. Do you remember when he fell out from Expendables? Then Sylvester Stallone kind of hinted at his work ethic and the fact that he wanted a shitload of money for not doing anything.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't work with people like that.
But I think he's bitter because of his failed music career.
Oh,
so he released an album.
How to Die Hard.
I wish it was called that. How to Die Hard.
Or A Hard Death.
He has a few.
Oh, there's a discography.
Yeah, so he's got a... He released an album, The Return of Bruno, in 1987.
Nice.
Because he wanted to be a musician. He wanted to be famous for music.
But actually...
Check it.
Return of Bruno. So was there a Bruno before that?
No. That's the weird part. That's his first one, and it's The Return of Bruno. And then If It Don't Kill You, It Just Makes You Stronger, released in 1989.
I love the spelling there. That's like relatable for coloreds. Yo, if it don't kill you, it makes you stronger. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
If it don't.
I mean, there are paralyzed people who would argue, would beg to differ.
Yeah, they would.
So I think he became a movie star, and he wanted to be a music star.
Mm.
And his music career failed, and he never forgave anyone for that.
So, and then his hair went as well.
Yeah, and he made Hudson Hawk, which is fucking horrible.
And at that point, he realized, I can get paid while doing bad shit.
100%, Hudson Hawk failed and moves away.
Shame. Look, he's done amazing things in between. I mean, one of my... a horror movie that you could actually watch, Death Becomes Her.
Yeah, I did watch Death Becomes Her. Yeah. So, but that's the thing. He at least used to try.
Mm.
And yes, Die Hard will always be that movie. Mm-hmm. It will always be the one that took him to that level.
Mm-hmm.
But he will never reach that glory again.
He won't.
Die Hard 2 was okay. It was kind of a little bit of a rehash.
Mm.
But Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Mm.
So cool. And that is when they brought back Gruber's brother.
Yeah, Simon Gruber.
They brought some Gruber in and Jeremy Irons was also a great villain.
Exactly.
And then the addition of Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
As Zeus. Hey, they Zeus. Just didn't they, bring they, back
remember
again.
Remember when they called him Hey Zeus?
Yeah. Like, no,
it's Hey Zeus. Zeus. My name is Zeus. Anyway.
Oh, such a good movie.
So yeah, I am sad about that. I'm sad that even Kevin Smith in an interview said...
Yeah, he doesn't like Bruce.
He doesn't like
what
Bruce.
What did they do? Cop Out.
Cop Out. They did Cop Out together. Kevin Smith was directing there. And there already Bruce was not... didn't want to be involved.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be there.
And Kevin Smith was on Diode 4 before that.
Yeah,
right?
He
had a small role in Diode 4 and then he directed him in Cop Out.
Yeah. Mm. So he tells a story about while they were filming Cop Out and he was standing in the road with Bruce Willis and a guy had driven past and shouted from his car. He's like, "Hey, Bruce Willis, John McClane, Diode, you're the fucking best." And he drove away. And then Bruce Willis was like, looked at the guy driving away, and he's like, "Those guys are the worst." And then Kevin Smith thought he was joking, but he was dead.
He was serious.
Yeah,
sour ass. No, man, I don't want to talk about negative Bruce. We like,
I'm sorry.
Yo, this is supposed to be happy, man.
You know me, tangent.
Yeah,
but anyway,
happy tangents.
Diode. Are we gonna go into why this is the best Christmas
film? We have to.
Okay.
We must.
And there are people that argue that it's not a Christmas film.
They are wrong.
They are dead wrong. Because they constantly refer to Christmas throughout the movie.
I mean, the whole reason is there is to fix things up so that his family can be together for Christmas. That's his driving force.
The movie starts on Christmas Eve and ends on Christmas Day. Yes. That's classic Christmas tropes.
Exactly. I mean, Wonderful Life, The Scrooge, all of those things are like stuff that plays out on Christmas Eve.
Exactly. And if you think of one scene, now I got a machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Down Christmas the elevator.
Christmas reference. Exactly. For sure.
That's the more on the nose references for those that don't get like the subtle metaphors.
Yeah. There's even jingle bells in the score.
Yeah.
Okay.
You hear them constantly. It was a Christmas party at her work.
Exactly. And the movie ends with Le Tits Now.
Hmm.
Oh, sorry. Let It Snow.
Oh. Oh, Sean Connery.
I thought that's like that.
Oh, Le Tits Now.
Le Tits Now. I'll take Le Tits Now for
the rapist.
That's as Christmas a song as you can get. And it ends on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch it every Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you watch it every Christmas?
I watch it Christmas time. I watch it at random times through the year. This movie, look, it's not you don't always immediately associate an action film with Christmas, right?
Yeah.
You always think of comedies. You think of like some romance stuff as well.
Yeah.
But this movie, that's what makes it so unique, man.
Yeah.
It's an action movie, one of the best action movies set in Christmas time.
Christmas time.
You get the subtle references too, right? You know, like the glass in the feet, the walking barefoot. We've all been in the malls for like hours on end doing Christmas shopping. We're not going to do it this year.
Certainly am.
Because of COVID.
COVID-19.
But that walking for hours, your feet feel like there's glass in there.
In the feet.
Subtle references, man.
It's conceptual.
It's conceptual.
Yeah,
that's how he feels what we are feeling.
So ahead of its time, this movie. It's a allegory on consumerism.
Exactly. such an allegory for all of us. Relatable.
Yeah, yeah. Look, that's a deep cut. I'm not sure most of the listeners will
get that. I'm going to go into all of them.
Okay, let's hear some more then.
I don't know them off the top of my head now. I was hoping for more time.
Well, that's the one thing we don't have.
Yeah, no, that'll be on the bootleg version, the restricted version.
Yeah, uncut.
Pay for that on Patreon, fools.
The Snyder cut of our podcast.
Uh-huh.
Jody and I, we have booked our tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're going to go watch it at the drive-in, not the drive-in.
Not the drive-in.
We're going to go watch it at the drive-in at the waterfront.
On
Boxing Day.
On Boxing Day, guys. Day after Christmas.
It would be nice if it was Christmas, but apparently you have to spend time with family. So we're going to have to watch it on Boxing Day.
So to all of the Bicycle Brasser fans out there, guys, go and buy your tickets for those in Cape Town.
Mm.
Come and join us at the Waterfront Drive-In And yeah. Check out Die Hard.
Check out Die Hard.
The best Christmas movie of all time. Ever.
I know. And we're going to set up a tree.
We're going to have trees. We're going to come with our Christmas hats.
Yep. What?
We can do Bicycle Brass' Secret Santa, which is essentially where all of you guys buy presents for us.
Yeah. And we take them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
I don't know if you guys are hoping for more. So tell me, Ross, do we have a rating system for this week?
Oh my God, who's that? Who's...
I'll make one up on the spot.
Okay, phew. I was going to say, no shit, is it my turn?
So let's do it this way. Okay. We'll have one ho for the movie's bad.
Yeah.
Two hoes, so ho-ho, for it's okay.
Yeah.
Three hoes for it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
And ho-ho-ho, I now have a machine gun, motherfucker.
Ooh.
For this is amazing.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with a harem of hoes.
is that what you call a collection of
hoes? Yeah, it's a harem. I'm going to go with a harem of hoes with an extra. And now I got a machine gun, motherfucker. Oh, we didn't even talk about Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Oh, we didn't mention it at all.
Like, one of the best lines. It's the line that carries through all of them.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, is a tattoo that I'm going to get one day. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Are you going to get, we're going to get matching tattoos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where?
Fucking anywhere you want.
Oh, on our backs.
Face.
Nice. Mike Tyson.
Look, we work from home, so we can get away
we
with
can
it.
Do that.
And then when we walk out in the open, we can cover it with a mask.
Yeah, because...
it's the best time to have a cold sore.
Best time. So, love that line. I love when Hans does it.
Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
What was it you said to me before? Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
He just Germans it up.
I know. So precise. So, rating system, harem of hoes, plus I got a machine gun, motherfucker.
Samesies.
Yeah.
Total samesies. You all knew that was coming.
Yeah.
You all knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming, just like Christmas every year. and I'm going to watch it every year.
Watching it on the 26th.
I'm even going to give Bruce Willis's album a chance.
Maybe we should. Yeah. The man needs support.
Yeah. The Return of Bruno from 19... or...
Released through Motown Records.
Or the Brassican...
Bruce got soul.
The Brassican listen to it and then give us a... Give
yeah,
us a
give us a review guys.
Because this isn't music, Brassica.
No.
But Die Hard... Special place in my heart.
Whoa,
special
place bars. In all of our hearts.
That's
man.
Right. Jody, where can the... Do you know what?
We've been giving the wrong address.
We've been giving the wrong email address out.
Good Lord. Yeah, that's why no one's been emailing us.
Yeah, because you guys have the actual email address.
They've been trying and it keeps coming up as the wrong thing.
Oh, my word.
So, you guys can hit us up on email at... BicycleBrasser@gmail.com. That's BicycleBrasser@gmail.com. Or you can look us up on our Instagram at BicycleBrasserPodcast on Instagram. Please go and comment on the post. Let us know why you think that this is the best Christmas movie of all time, because you guys agree with us.
Yeah, obviously you agree with
us. All of you agree with us.
You fucking better.
Otherwise we delete you. We don't need you.
Unfollow. Shadow ban.
Block your ass.
Stay safe. Have a lovely Christmas. Don't see too much family.
No, we need to be safe, guys.
Don't see the family that you are suspicious of.
Yes, because we know that there's some dodgy folks.
They lie, man.
Yeah,
they
go everywhere without the mask. Then they take pictures and you can see them breathing on each other in those pictures. You can see it, man.
The actual idea of someone breathing on me just freaks me the fuck out.
Yeah, that's actually assault now. It's a crime.
It is, yeah. Enjoy the gammon.
Mm.
I'm going to enjoy the gammon.
I'm going to enjoy the gammon.
I bought three gammons.
So hot. Liquor. Gammon. Gammon.
Gammon. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.